Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In the last 10 minutes of this first hour of the program, we're going to hear from our listeners on the Issues Etc. comment line. It's a phone line dedicated entirely to your questions, your comments, your criticism, your show suggestions that we know accumulate, especially for our beloved on-demand listeners. They listen, maybe you listen in real time live on the radio or on the internet or on your iPhone app or your Android app. Maybe you listen on demand. Well, we still want to hear from you. Even if you're listening to something that we broadcast live weeks ago, the Issues Etc. comment line is for you 24/7, 365 days a year, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. It will always answer. Leave your message. Make sure you tell us where you're listening and your name, and we're always happy to hear from you. And as often as we can, we like to respond to the Issues Etc. comment line. We begin with some feedback from our recent interview with Dr. Martin Nolan on the theological premise behind the HHS contraception mandate.
Hi, my name is Isaac Duke. I'm in Seattle, Washington, and I wanted to comment about Martin Nolan's comment about the theological premise behind the argument regarding contraception, HHS. He's one of the first times I've ever heard someone talk about men. And I really think that's important is we get sucked into these arguments about these issues about women. And there's a huge key here of the reason there's even these problems is because men are not held accountable in society. And that genders all this other confusion. And I just thought that was interesting. He said it in a side comment. He wasn't specifically addressing it, but I thought it was, I wanted to commend just that he brought that to attention in dealing with these issues. Anyway, thank you.
Well, Isaac, thank you for listening in Washington. Thanks for your comment. We had that recent conversation with Dr. Martin Nolan on the theological foundation. I found it fascinating because what was being covered, and still is to a certain degree, what was being covered in the press about the HHS mandate was the theological opposition to it. It was simply assumed, well, it's got to be some kind of fundamentalist right-wing Christians or those crazy Roman Catholics who would oppose this. Of course, what Dr. Nolan did was with just some simple, basic kind of first-tier research was to find out what theological agencies, denominations, parachurch organizations actually were in favor of the HHS mandate and why. And you're right, he did bring out the fact that, and I think this is inherent for the fallout of the sexual revolution, that we often do focus on how it has hurt and affected and been to the detriment of women and girls, and we sometimes fail to see that the sexual revolution is also detrimental and harmful to boys and to men as well. And one of the ways that it is, you're quite right to point it out, that is, it's detrimental to men is it relieves them of the responsibility. We were talking earlier today with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, where sex is assumed to be a purely recreational activity without any consequences or necessary consequences whatsoever. And if that's the case, well, look, if I go play cards, it's a recreational activity. It has no real life consequences if I'm not gambling for real money. I walk away from the table. No different than when I showed up, right? If all it is just having a little fun, and I should be able to be certain that there will be no consequences, no cause and effect whatsoever, the sexual act should be the same if it's just recreational. And so what have men done? They've done precisely what the feminists used to complain about men doing, not taking responsibility, not stepping up to the plate and doing what men are supposed to do. But it's their own sexual revolution that is encouraged that behavior among men. And women and men are no better off as a result. No better off. Neither of them are. Now, if you missed this interview with Dr. Nolan, you can still listen to it. At issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Type in Martin Noland, that's N-O-L-A-N-D, HHS mandate, in the Google search engine in the upper right-hand corner, and you'll find that interview. You can listen for yourself.
Hello, this is Michael O'Connor from Indian Head, Maryland. I listened to your show yesterday on St. Patrick's Breastplate. Really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed every hymn study you guys done, and you always pick out such great hymns. And I was wondering, a suggestion, maybe you guys could work with CPH of maybe doing a hymn album of some of the great hymns that you've done for your hymn studies. I don't know if that would be something you and CPH could work together on, but that would be just a suggestion. But I do enjoy the hymn studies.
Well, that's interesting. I've never considered that possibility. It sounds like what he's suggesting, and thanks for listening in Maryland, Michael. What he's suggesting is that we put together kind of in a permanent form what we do here during our hymn studies. Why do we do hymn studies? Some people might say, why in the world would you waste radio time studying Christian hymns? Well, it's because these hymns are some of the very best and longest-lived witnesses to the gospel and to the Word of God that the church has. I have said it many times that hymn writers are the best and most effective and longest-lasting evangelists the church ever have. When their hymns survive, when their hymns are found to be useful and conducive to the preaching of the gospel, they can instruct and educate and evangelize generation after generation after generation after generation. And these hymns are, in many ways, also the ongoing confession, prayer, and praise of the church. So we cherish them, not just because they're old. That would just be like having an antique sitting in your living room. And not just because we value the things that they have to say, but because hymns still do what they were written to do. This isn't music appreciation, by the way. We study the hymns for their texts and for their ongoing testimony and confession of Christ.
This is Herman commenting on the discussion about the Lane Pagels book on Revelation. It's most interesting that the publisher would not arrange an interview with Issues, etc., and that is spoken to ultimately of the issue by the Sunday scripture readings that include 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31, that Paul is speaking about the foolishness of the wisdom of the world. And it's most right on and appropriate for Elaine Pagels, who thought that her wisdom is superior or equal to God, to take apart his word and put it back together to her liking. Well, I just thought I'd mention that. Thank you very much.
Herman, thank you very much for the comment as well. He refers to a conversation that we had on Elaine Pagels' new book on the book of Revelation. We kind of analyzed the book and took it apart. And we would have preferred to talk to Dr. Pagels herself, but her publicist refused the interview. I think your reference to the Corinthian passage is very apt. That God it's the wisdom of God that in his wisdom he deemed that it would not be through wisdom, that is the wisdom of man, that men would be saved. But what does Paul say? By the foolishness of that which we preach. And this foolishness, that's foolishness to our ears, of Christ and him crucified, is in fact the highest wisdom of God. Why? This is why Paul can say, so the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, because God's foolishness is actually his wisdom to save men through the foolishness of a cross that is preached by feeble men, and not by our own reason or strength, and not by our own wisdom. You're quite right that the the wisdom of man, run amok, always esteems itself higher than the wisdom of God. And what has to go when the wisdom of man esteems itself higher than the wisdom of God? Well, the foolishness of God has got to go. That cross has got to go. Make no mistake about it. Whether someone's talking about the book of Revelation, these liberal Bible scholars, or whether they're questioning the first book of the Bible, Genesis, or something in between, the devil's bullseye is always and only on the cross. It is just one means, another door, another window he can climb in to rob the church of the preaching, the foolishness of Christ, the preaching of Christ and him crucified. He will attack on any quarter. He will attack on any side that he has to, that he thinks is weak, in order to get to the message of the cross and rob hearers, believers and unbelievers, of that cross, because that's the heart and center of Holy Scripture. So Paul says with great determination, where is the philosopher? Where is the debater of this age? Where is he? Has God not chosen what is foolish to put to naught those things that are wise? And the ongoing testimony to man's foolishness is that he continues to lift his wisdom above that of God and continues to ignore that foolishness, that highest wisdom of God, in all of its beauty and in all of its saving power, the message of Christ and him crucified. The liberal Bible scholars aren't just picking at nits. They aren't just tearing around the corners. Whether they know it or not, their despising of God's word, their attempt to deconstruct God's word, is aimed at the gospel. When we come back, hour two of Issues, Etc., we'll talk about some apparent contradictions in the Bible with Pastor Ed Engelbrecht.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.